I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning and have this opportunity to speak. I really enjoy listening to Tom, really enjoy it, and I know that you're going to have to suffer through this, and I just want to apologize in advance. For those of you who helped in any shape, form, or fashion with Vacation Bible School this past week, thank you. It's exhausting, but it's beautiful. And if you failed to see the beautiful, you can go to our Facebook page and see some of the video from there, some of the pictures that other people have highlighted, and see what a fantastic few days it was at Vacation Bible School. Thank you all for that. I want to ask you a question this morning. You know, Doug read that passage from 1 Corinthians about the Lord's Supper. And if you continued reading past that, it talks about the Lord's Supper, and really it's an opportunity on Sundays for us to examine ourselves. That's, we praise and glorify God, but then we also look at ourselves and ask ourselves important questions. And I have an important question for you this morning. And that is, have you ever been to Petticoat Junction? Now, some of you know exactly what this is. I'm only familiar with the name. I've never seen an episode. Petticoat Junction ran for 7 seasons from 1963 to 1970. And the story is about this widowed mom and her 3 daughters who run this hotel in a place called Petticoat Junction. Never seen a single episode. So what is he up to this morning? Well, I really want to ask you this question. Have you ever been to Petticoat Dysfunction? Have you ever been to that place where things keep you from serving your function? I want us to take just a moment and look at some definitions here. If you looked up the word petty, P-E-T-T-Y, P-E-T-T-Y, you'll see 2 definitions of it. The first is of little of importance or trivial. You want to see what that is? You can go look in my car when I'm driving with my family. The things that we fuss over sometimes are so petty. Who sits in what seat? Who was the last person to have the tissues? Whatever it is, petty. Definition number 1. There's also this definition number 2 here, which means of secondary or lesser importance, rank, or scale. And really, it's that one, that if you were thinking, well, my issues are not trivial, I want to make the argument that at least they're not primary, they're secondary. So we've got this definition of petty, and so let me just move on to the definition of dysfunction. Dysfunction also has 2 definitions. The first one means impaired or abnormal functioning. The second meaning abnormal or unhealthy interpersonal behavior or interaction within a group. In other words, something that ought to be acting or doing a certain thing a certain way isn't quite doing it right. Isn't quite doing it right. And I want to submit for your consideration this morning that sometimes we individually, we as a congregation can take this petty and put it on like a coat. And before you know it, there's all kinds of dysfunction going on. All kinds of dysfunction. Now, if you would, please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want us to look at what normal function looks like. What normal function looks like. On an individual basis, I want you to consider this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Paul writes there one of the things that I think is one of the most meaningful scripture in all of our Bibles. For we, it says, are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know that when God made you, And when he made me, he had a particular good thing in mind for us to do. He had a particular thing in mind for us to do. He says, I'm going to make Joey, and because I want Joey to do these good works that I've prepared beforehand that he should do them, I'm going to create Joey a certain way so that he can do those things. And so if Joey grows up and does the things that God gave him the talent to do, then he is functioning normally. The same thing is also true of the church. In the passage that Brother Fred read for us from Ephesians chapter 4, we get a glimpse of what the church, the body of Christ, is supposed to function like. We've got all these different roles. God has crafted folks to be evangelists and pastors and teachers and placed them in certain roles for us. And then we see it kind of play out there so that the saints can be equipped unto every good work for the edifying of the body, so that we're not tossed around to and fro of every wind of doctrine. That's how the church is supposed to work, that we grow up into Christ the head. That's how the church is supposed to work. And notice this particular phrase in verse 16. I'm reading from the New King James. Your Bible may have something just slightly different from this. It says in verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. So what does an effective functioning church look like? It looks like, in God's plan of what it looks like, that people have certain roles, they do those roles, and they give everything that they've got to the church. And every part of the church, every member of the church does its share. Anything short of that is some level of dysfunction or abnormal function. So with that, let's take a look at what this petty is that leads to dysfunction. We are all commanded to obey the greatest commandment. It's found there in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 36 through 38. Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is, and he responds by saying, to love the Lord your God with all, that's 100%, not 50%, not 75%, not 20%, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the greatest command. So what is petty? What is secondary? What is of lesser importance? It is anything. It is anything that keeps us from giving all. Anything that keeps us from giving all. That's what the definition for petty is this morning. God has made me to do this. He has commanded me to give all. And if I'm giving anything less than that, what is keeping me down here instead of up here is petty. Now, let's take a moment to look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57, it says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Jesus, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, is the death of someone's father serious business? Is it trivial? No. but it's secondary. It's secondary. And if that's what's keeping you from doing what the Lord said to do, it's secondary. It's kind of petty in the definition that we're giving to petty. And then it continues on right there to another example. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But the Jesus said to them, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So, there's what God made us to do. There's what God has commanded us to do in giving all. And then there's all this stuff that sometimes keeps us from doing it. It's petty. It's secondary. It's of lesser rank or of lesser importance. Let me tell you, give you some examples of how this plays out in the church. Okay? Grudge holding. You all probably know of better examples of this than I do. But I have known people who will not invest themselves fully in a congregation or in the work of the church because somebody said something to them that hurt their feelings 15 years ago. 15 years ago. And ever since that time, they put on that petticoat and said, you know, I'm not going to do this because Sister So-and-so is over there. And I remember when she said this about me back in 1984. That person just went to Petticoat Junction and now is causing dysfunction. You've heard of things even sillier than that, right? Where some people have come in and somebody was sitting in their pew and instead of sitting in a different place, they just turn around and walk right back out. Well, if that person doesn't know it's my pew, then they just took a trip to Petticoat Junction. And now there's all kinds of dysfunction. Let me give you another example. There's all this grudge holding that goes on sometimes, but then also there's this other thing, and that is hypercriticism. And that's where we start looking at everybody else to justify what we do or don't do. Well, I would do this, but so-and-so doesn't do that. Turn, if you will, over to Matthew chapter 7 for just a moment. It's interesting that in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he gets to this issue, because it's a big one. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 3, Jesus says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck out of your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. You know, when I was a child, my father filled in as a preacher in this community. We ended up being there 12 years. We're supposed to have the job for a couple of months, had the job for 12 years. We were invited every Sunday, because it was an hour away from our home, we were invited every Sunday to a different family's house for lunch. And I remember what Sister Lois Crane said when she had us over one time to her house. She's an outstanding, outstanding lady. She always wore white gloves because she didn't want to touch anybody when she was at church. Took a little trip to Petticoat Junction. But I remember Lois saying one time, she said, it's good to actually have you over to the house, preacher. Because we have the preacher for lunch every week anyway. And do you know what she meant? Do you know what she meant? It means every Sunday afternoon, they'd sit around the table and criticize the preacher. That's what it meant. And that stuff's infectious, isn't it? And sometimes we get so hypercritical and we say, oh, well, because the preacher doesn't keep my attention, then I'm going to give 50% instead of 100%. Or because I don't like this decision that the elders made, that I think they should have done this instead of they do that. And then so because they did that, then I'm not going to give all myself to that. And whatever it is, this hypercriticism can lead to putting on that coat. of petty and lead to dysfunction. And yet, there's another one. I want to give you another one. I could go on, but I'm going to give you one more. It's this I've served my time attitude. I've served my time. I remember when I was in charge of the education program at a previous congregation, it came time to find teachers for the different classes, and I would go around and ask, and I'd say, and very often, what I would hear is that, well, I've taught that class for 5 years, 20 years, 25. I've served my time. It's time for one of these young people to do it. You know what that person just did? Took a trip to Petticoat Junction. They have this reason that seems perfectly logical to them. And because of it, now, instead of giving all that they have, instead of fulfilling the very reason that God made them to do these good works, instead of doing that, now they're giving something less. Instead of giving all, they're giving 30% or 60%. They've taken a trip to Petticoat Junction, and it's led to levels of dysfunction. I want to submit for your consideration two levels of dysfunction. Number one is the primary level of dysfunction, which means that the individual is no longer doing what it is that God made them to do and giving all of themselves to the work of Christ. That's the individual level. But then there is also a secondary level, a congregational level, which means that because this person isn't doing what they ought to be doing, there someone else has to bear the load of that. Now, or for reasons that are just somewhat silly, they start pulling people away from what they ought to be doing. Let me give you an example of this. Over in Acts chapter 6. You look at Acts chapter 6, this is the early days of the church. The church is going so well, it's growing so fast, they're so unified and bonded, and it says that they're sharing all things and that they're of one mind. All this great stuff is going on for the church. And then you get to Acts chapter 6. And it says, beginning in verse 1, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring. Oh, there it goes. There arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now, this is pretty serious stuff, right? Widows, not getting the distribution of food. It's not trivial. It's not trivial, but notice what happens next. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." In other words, they're saying that God has given us this particular purpose, and we don't need to leave that purpose to go deal with something else. I want to tell you a really quick story. I told this to the class, my Sunday morning class last week. Sometimes putting on that petticoat pulls people away from what they ought to be doing and gets them caught up in all kinds of junk instead. It was a Sunday morning. It was a Sunday morning when I was in college. And on that Sunday morning, I was not scheduled to be the song leader, but the person who was scheduled to be the song leader wasn't there. And so they asked me if I would cover and be the song leader on that morning. And so I said, sure. After the morning worship service was over, one of the shepherds of that congregation came to me, and I could see the look in the eye. He did not want to have to talk to me about what he was about to talk to me about. He didn't want to. I could see in his face that it was petty. I could see it. But because he was the shepherd, he felt like he had to deal with it. You know what he said? He says, "Chris, there's a sister in the congregation here that's all been out of shape because you didn't wear a tie while you were leading singing this morning." And I said, okay. And I was tempted at that moment to say, well, I wasn't even the scheduled song leader. What, does she not know that I wasn't even the scheduled song, that I just feel? And then I almost not only said that, but then also shifted into second gear. Where does it say in the Bible? I almost did that. But instead, I could see it on his face, and I just said, yes, sir. How many times do we bring stuff to the shepherds and put it on them that gets them distracted from the things that they ought to do that's just entirely petty? You know why the church is struggling right now to have people that serve as shepherds? It's because they spend 90% of their time on stuff that's secondary, that doesn't even belong on their table. There's the stuff that God gave them to do. There's the stuff that God made them to do, that they've agreed to do because they want to do. And then they end up, and then it's not just shepherds. It happens with preachers. It happens with deacons. It happens with, well, just everybody across the church. It leads to all this dysfunction. And someone says, well, if he wears a tie again, or goes without a tie again, I'm going to go from giving 60% to giving 30% of myself. Just took a trip to Petticoat Junction. Isn't it time that whatever it is that keeps us from giving all of ourselves to the thing that God made us to do, isn't it time that whatever that thing is, be put down? Isn't it time? Some of you might be thinking, well, I don't have this issue, and let me just ask you this question. Are you giving 100% of yourself? Are you giving your all? And if not, why not? What is the thing that is keeping you from being what God made you to be and to do? That thing is petty. Let's take off that coat. Let's set it down and be the persons and congregation that we can be, that God had in mind for us when He made us and brought us to this place. Perhaps that means forgiving a grudge that's been going on for years. Perhaps that means not being so hypercritical all the time of every single thing. Perhaps it means not weighing down those around you. Whatever it means for you, ask yourself that question. Examine ourselves is what we're commanded to do on, as we gather on Sundays. And let's put that coat somewhere else. This morning, I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that there are those in this room who for years and years have known what they ought to do, but have chosen not to do it. And for whatever that reason is, let me tell you this, it's petty. Anything that comes between you and the Lord is petty. The father, the family, anything is petty. Whatever your need may be this morning, we would encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.